friend.
All right.
Merle Johnson.
Yeah.
He's got COPD, and he's on oxygen. And I stopped at the dollar store to get some eye drops yesterday. Bless. I got to talking to him, and he said he went to church with a 96-year-old guy.
Wow.
And he said, we was talking about, we don't need this stimulant pay. And Merle said, if your heart ain't in the right place, you better be getting it there. We're living in the very, very last days.
That's true, Brother Mitchell. I'm seeing things I never thought I'd see. I'm 66 years old. I've seen a lot of things, but I haven't seen anything such as the like. It's coming upon our nation. And I believe it's more spiritual than it is anything.
Yeah.
I believe it's God bringing this country, this nation into judgment. I think it started when the Twin Towers fell.
Mm-hmm.
I think he that's begun it's going to finish it. And America's got, to some degree, a little bit too big for God. But our God's able to bring it down to reality. I don't know exactly how it's all going to end up. I'm sure everybody like me is a little bit optimistic. I'm hoping it don't get too bad. I just know one thing, I'm ready. No matter what comes, I've made preparation against that day. And I know I'm good to go. And I know if the Lord was to come today, praise God, I'd leave out on the first load. Hallelujah. We want to read one more excerpt out of this book, Voices from the Edge of Eternity. Been a great encouragement to me. We see in part, and we know in part, but I promise you this, there's a whole lot more to what we see and what we know. And this excerpt here, this excerpt here was back in 1916, and this is about a notorious Japanese war criminal called Nish Aizawa. I hope I got that right. Nish Aizawa. And the title of it is called Saved by the Grace of God, to Die is Gain. A happy, victorious, young Irish girl set sail for Japan on October the 9th, 1916. She was Irene Webster Smith and came from our aristocratic family, Irish to the core. She bubbled over with a delightful wit that sometimes startled the ultra prime and proper, but which attracted thousands of Japanese to her and her after years. Little did that talented Irish girl realize that one day she'd be used by God to transform the lives of 14 of the toughest war criminals in Japan. And how did this miracle take place? I'll try to say this guy's name here. Nishizawa San was one of the Japanese military leaders convicted of war crimes. The International War Crimes Tribunal found him guilty and sentenced him to death by hanging. He was in Sugamo Prison awaiting execution when he first met Miss Webster Smith. Nishizawa's wife was a Christian and was deeply concerned about her husband, allowed to see him for only a half an hour each month. Boy, that'd be pretty rough.
Yeah.
She had taken him a Gospel of St. John on one of her visits. Nishizawa, however, was not interested, hardened by the sins of the deepest dye. He was completely indifferent to his wife's endeavors to bring him to Christ. One day, Miss Webster Smith called Sensei, which means a teacher or a wise one, by the Japanese who knew her, went to speak at a woman's meeting in Kashiwa. In that meeting was Miss Nishizawa. She introduced herself to Miss Sensei, then pleaded with her to go see her husband in prison. I'm deeply concerned about my husband, and I want very much for him to become a Christian before he dies. If only you would go, I will give up my visiting privileges to you. She only gets to see her husband for a half an hour each month. She's willing to give that up, but opportunity might get saved. Such a moving appeal was irresistible, and since he promised to do her best, she soon found, however, that Nashua and other war crime prisoners at Sugamore Prison were held under very tight security. The authorities were taking no chances, especially since one prisoner's wife had smuggled poison into the prison when visiting her husband. She had smeared it on the wire mesh of the interview booth, and the prisoner licked it off and he died. At first it seemed impossible for Cincy to break through the regulations and the red tape of the prison, but a God-inspired enthusiasm and determination at last convinced the authorities that this charming old lady had a right to see the doomed Nashua. She was admitted into the great stone building known as Sagamoto Prison. Doing the best I can with these words. The interview booth was heavily guarded as Cincy sat on one side of the heavy wire mesh which separated her from Nashua. With a silent prayer, she spoke to the man. "I've seen your wife and children, and they are well. I met your wife at a Christian meeting." Nashua replied, "She told me that she had been converted, and she left me a booklet." The tone of his voice showed no interest, but Cincy quickly seized her chance. "The booklet must have been the gospel," she thought, and so it was. And it gave Cincy the golden opportunity of telling the prisoner that the Christ of the gospel had died on the cross for the sins of all men, and that he would freely pardon all who would truly repent and believe in him. She went on to explain that Christ would receive such believers into his glorious kingdom where they would live eternally with him. Nashua was visibly moved by the earnest and confident preaching of the gospel in that prison booth. Yeah, I believe in this kind of women preaching. Amen. Before the interview ended, he asked the vital question, "Do you mean that he could forgive my sins? I have committed many terrible sins. You cannot imagine what they are." Quickly, since I assured Nashua that there was hope for the worst sinner who trusts in the cleansing blood of Jesus and believes on Him as their Savior. Deeply moved by the Holy Spirit, the poor prisoner then and there prayed with Cincy, crying to God for mercy. Afterwards, there came into his heart a peace and joy that he had never known before. Cincy heard him whisper, "Thank God, thank you, thank you." The great transaction was done. Nashua was a new creature in Christ Jesus. At once he told Cincy that he believed Christ had saved him. The missionary then urged him to find some person in that prison and tell him what Christ had done for Nashua. The prisoner's only chance was during exercise time, for he was in solitary confinement. And even then he was not supposed to talk to the other prisoners. But Nashua promised he'd do his best to witness for his newly found Savior. This he did with such amazing success that one by one, 13 war criminals in Sagamore Prison were brought to Christ. They asked for baptism and were immersed by the Baptist prison chaplain. Then one day there came a deep sense of urgency upon Cincy that she must go at once and visit Nashua again. But the officials at the headquarters were adamant. She had used the one interview permitted. Another clemency visit was completely out of the question. Knowing that the urgent call had come from God, she felt she must at all costs see Nashua again before he was executed. And when Cincy made up her mind to do something for her Lord, all the powers of hell could not stop her. She marched straight to the office of the only man in Japan who could then open the prison doors for her. He was the famous General MacArthur, the man who then virtually ruled all of Japan. The great man received her courteously and listened to her plea. He then gave her permission to see the prisoner once again, even providing a staff car to drive her to the prison. In the interview room, she looked keenly at Nashua as he was brought in. His face was radiant with joy. He exclaimed, "Only this morning I asked God to send you to see me. He answered my prayer." "I want to give you instructions for the care of my wife and children and a last message for them and for my parents." Thus Cincy and Nashua prayed together and said goodbye. Just before Nashua was executed, Cincy received a letter from him. It read, "Mother Smith, I appreciate you sincerely and that you saw me again and gave me kind encouragement, sharing your busy time with me. Thank you also by the name of the Lord with the other brethren, hearing that the favor of being saved was realized by your unusual efforts. I'm living thankful days, believing that I may receive salvation of the Holy Ghost on my last day and entirely trusting in Him that for me, saved by the grace of God, to live is Christ and to die is gain. I pray your good health by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and God His Father's. Yours sincerely, a saved sinner, Mr. Nashua." 2 days later, Cincy learned that Nashua and one of the other converts had been executed the previous night. And you know, that work she done, praise God. Man, I tell you, it's hard to get in prison. I've been in some of them. It's not no cakewalk. Right. And the gospel is very powerful in the prisons. Amen.
Yes, it is.
Amen. Oh, Lord, I want to wish everyone Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you.
It's good to see. We had 7 last Sunday. And we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, counting me, here today. And I praise God for that.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. Let me read this real quick. I don't want to take up too much time here. This is a 19th century statesman. And his name was Alex D. Cavolville. What a name. He was a social philosopher. He traveled to America in 1830 to discover the reasons for the incredible success of this new nation called America. He published his observations in his classic 2-volume work, Democracy in America. He was especially impressed by America's churches. There's some startling excerpts from his work. He said, "Upon my arrival in the United States, the religious aspect of the country was the first thing that struck my attention. The longer I stayed here, the more I perceived the great political consequences resulting from this new state. In France, I had almost always seen the spirit of religion and the spirit of freedom marching in opposite directions. But in America, I found that they were intimately united and that they reigned in common over the country. Religion in America must be regarded as the foremost of the political institutions of that country, for it does not impart a taste for freedom, it facilitates the use of it. Indeed, it is in this same point of view that the inhabitants of the United States themselves look upon religion. I do not know whether all Americans have sincere faith or not, who can search the human heart, but I am certain that they hold it to be indispensable to maintain in their institutions. This opinion is not particular to a class of citizens or party. It belongs to the whole nation and to every rank of its society. In the United States, a sovereign authority is religion. There's no country in the world where the Christian religion retains a greater influence over the souls of men than in America. There can be no greater proof of its utility or of its comforting to human nature than its influence and its power felt over the most enlightened and free nation in the earth. In the United States, the influence of religion is not confined to the manners, but it extends to the intelligence of the people. Christianity, therefore, reigns without obstacle or without any resistance. I sought for the key to the greatness and the genius of America in her harbors, in her fertile fields, in boundless forests, in her rich mines and vast world commerce, in her public school systems and institutions of learning. I sought for it in her democratic Congress, in her matchless Constitution, but not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits flame with righteousness did I understand the secrets of America's genius and power. America is great because America is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. The safeguard of morality is religion, and morality is the best security of flaw as well as the surest pledge of freedom. The Americans combine the notion of Christianity and of liberty so intimately in their minds that it's impossible to make them conceive the other without the one. Christianity is a companion of liberty and all its conflicts, the cradle of its infancy, and the divine source of its claims. That's quite an observation by a social philosopher about what made America so great. I wanted to read that real quick.
Yeah.
You can be opening up your Bibles this morning. We're going to be actually preaching out of Exodus chapter 11. We'll be all over the Bible today, but I'm going to start in Exodus chapter 11. And let me say this before I preach. If y'all notice here lately, they've been having virtual races, virtual sports games on TV, virtual football, basketball, horse racing, car racing, boxing, everything. You know what the complaint was? It's just not the same. It's just not like being there. Well, that's the way I feel about church. Amen.
Amen.
You can put it on there and stream it, and I appreciate Brother Jason doing that. And you know what? It's quite a convenience when you can't come to still be able to be there by any means. But oh, how much better it is to be there in person. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hey, I say to the church, amen. If it's all possible, I'm going to be there. There was a couple of times, wasn't nobody here, me and Brother Ed and the Lord, but we had a good time, and we can't sing a lick. We sung by the letter. We just ran back and let her go, but we did the best we could, amen. And I want to thank the Lord that a federal judge halted our governor, our Kentucky governor, Andy Beshear, his ban on church services in Kentucky, clearing the way for Sunday church services. They also said that the governor's ruling was unconstitutional, and I agree with it, and I say amen.
Amen.
And that's what we're going to be preaching about today. I'm going to preach the third message and the last message on is the church essential, and we'll be done with this. And like I said again, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers here. And our mothers are essential. If you're in this world, you got here by mother. Amen?
Amen.
I'll just tell you right now, Adam and Steve can't do it. And Adam and Eve can't do it. It takes a mother and it takes a father for a child to come into this world. Amen.
Amen.
By the way, on a note of what I just mentioned about our governor, Andy Beshear, just take note of this right here. Over $2 billion has been spent on alcohol since March. That's why he left the liquor stores open.
That's right.
Uh-huh. You can do the math on that. Amen. All right, we'll take our reading this morning to Exodus chapter 11. We're going to read the first 7 verses. And the Lord said unto Moses, yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. You know who's bringing this plague?
Yes.
Yeah. And Pharaoh nor Egypt, they wouldn't have it no other way. They refused to let God's people go. And these were God's people. And you ever heard that saying, the Bible said, God's not mocked, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Well, they're going to reap this plague.
Yeah.
God said, I'm going to bring one plague more. They done went through all kind of plagues, locusts and frogs and water turned to blood and lice and everything else. God said, I'm going to bring one more plague upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. And God said, afterwards, he will let you go hence. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. In other words, they couldn't wait to say, you go ahead and worship your God, and we're done fighting. He said, speak now in the ears of the people. Let every man borrow of his neighbor, and every woman of her neighbor, jewels of silver and jewels of gold. And the Lord gave the people favor in the eyes of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt and in the sight of Pharaoh's servants and in the sight of the people. And Moses said, thus saith the Lord. I like that terminology. When God says something, you can put it in the bank, Brother Mitchell.
Right.
Thus saith the Lord, about midnight I will go out into the midst of Egypt. There's a dark hour coming upon this world.
Yeah.
Not just upon America, but upon this world.
Yeah.
It says they want nothing to do with this Jesus, which is called Christ. It's amazing how this keeps repeating itself.
Yeah, that's right.
Pharaoh and Egypt didn't want nothing to do with God. They didn't want to know Him. They didn't want to obey Him. And here God says through Moses, thus saith the Lord, about midnight I will go out into the midst of Egypt. The laughter's over, Phyllis. God's fixing short Himself to be God.
That's right.
They put themselves in this predicament. They wouldn't let God be their God.
Amen.
They had idols. Right. They had all kind of gods.
Yes.
They had everything but the living God. And God said about midnight,
amen,
I'm going to go out.
Right.
Oh my. I wouldn't wish this on anybody. And all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody's dying here today. But if we were dying here today, it would be important. It'd be important to be ready to die.
Right.
And it'd also be important how we die. I want to leave behind some kind of testimony.
Yeah.
I want somebody to say, I was there when he died.
Yeah.
And I saw him raise up a hand and say, I'm here, Lord. Come get me, amen. I'm ready to go. But God said, the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon the throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that's behind the meal, and all the firstborn of the beast. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall there be any like it. Oh, let me read this right. There shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it anymore. This cry right here is one, buddy, of defeat. It's one, I'm telling you, when all hope is gone. I'm telling you, buddy, this is one of them kind of cries when a country or a people have to reckon with God and admit and acknowledge that He's God alone. It's our last verse here, verse 7. I like this verse. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, against man or beast, that ye may know how that the Lord doeth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. Boy, I'm glad God makes a difference. Amen.
Right.
Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank You for the privilege to stand for the Word of God. We thank You, Lord, for the exceeding great and precious promises that are in this Bible to us, Word, that, Lord, we can claim them. Lord, that they pertain to us. Oh, Lord, the world could have them if they just let the world go to get them. Lord, I pray, Father, that You'd bless these that are here today. I pray, Father, for those that will be listening today by way of internet. I pray for the lost today that they'll give their heart to Jesus. Lord, that they'll realize that nail-scarred hand is there for them, reaching out, Lord, to take them by the hand and welcome into the family of God. Help my tongue today, Father, not to stammer, not to stammer. Lord, I pray you give me great plainness of speech. Help my thoughts today not to be cluttered, but to be clear. Lord, I pray you'll help me deliver this message, Father, for your praise and for your glory. I ask you to do all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Like I said, I'm preaching, is the church essential? As far as I'm concerned, it is.
Yeah.
Now, I just read seven terrible verses there. And this is somewhat of a crisis coming. It's not there yet, but it's coming. It's going to be.
Right.
And some people, amen, Brother Mitchell, no matter how you want them, they just won't listen.
That's right.
And God, through Moses and Aaron, has warned Pharaoh, has warned Egypt, that there's more to life than Egypt,
right,
and Pharaoh.
Right.
And for lack of better words, they're looking around at all the comforts of Egypt,
amen,
and all the riches of Egypt, and they're saying, I don't need nothing that God has. The Bible,
yeah,
said about Moses,
right,
that
he
decided to go with the children of Israel rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. For he esteemed the riches of Christ greater riches than those of Egypt. I made a decision one day, Brother Danny, to trade my rags for the riches of heaven.
Yeah.
And I want you to know it was a good trade. Amen. Hey, Sister Sharon, we ain't going to need no walk of their glory.
Right.
Hey, my heel hurt a little bit yesterday. Pain, I complaining. My knee hurting a little bit. She comes in with a walker this morning. And I feel pretty bad about my little light afflictions. But I want you to know we won't need to get a wheelchair out there in the back of the van.
Come on.
Brother Mitchell, and I'm going to go pick up my wife here in a minute. She's getting released today out of a Sky Rehab.
Amen.
And it's Mother's Day, and she's going to need a wheelchair to get to the van. And going to need a wheelchair to get from the van to the house. But we won't need none of that.
Amen.
We won't need no wheelchairs. We won't need no weapons. We won't need no crutches. We won't need no more things that pertain to this world. We will finally get home, glory to God.
Amen.
They couldn't convince Pharaoh otherwise, Brother Ed.
That's right.
You know, I look, the same's going on today.
Mm.
I met people that were unreasonable. Oh, they wouldn't listen. They wouldn't let you have a word or opportunity to convince them of the riches of Christ.
Right.
And let me say this. There's a terrible thing fixing to happen. But before we mention that, I want you to notice two distinct things here. Now, Pharaoh, he's somewhat of a politician. He's in charge. And if you don't know this, Moses is the pastor of the first church recorded in the Bible. Now, the ark is a type of church, type of Christ. But the Bible says about these people that Moses is leading in Acts chapter 7, verse 38, and that they were the church in the wilderness. So he's the pastor over this bunch of people. And I want you to know there's a difference here between this politician, this political Pharaoh, and this pastor over this church. And here's why I want to draw that. If you'll notice in verse 28 of Exodus chapter 10, and Pharaoh says unto him, talking about Moses, "Get thee from me, take heed of thyself, see my face no more, for in the day that thou seest my face, thou shalt die." I want you to know Pharaoh's mad. He's had up to here with Moses and all these warnings. He's had up to here with all the judgments that's come upon Egypt. He's had up to here. He's on his throne. He says, "I don't want no more. Get out, buddy."
Mm-hmm.
If you look over here in verse number 8, I didn't read this verse. I'll show you that the pastor's mad too.
That's right.
Verse 8 of Exodus chapter 11. And Moses doing the talking here. And he says, "All these thy servants shall come bow down unto me and bow themselves unto me, saying, get thee out, and all the people that follow thee, and after that I will go out. And notice, and he went out from Pharaoh in a great anger. So Moses is mad. Pharaoh's mad. This is one of them kind of crises like what's going on today.
Yeah.
I really don't feel like that the government should have ever meddled with the church.
No.
I mean, let the world, let them fight among themselves. But as for the church of the living God, let them do what they do. Let the world do what they do.
Amen.
Let the world chase after the things of the world. And let the church do what God called it to do.
I mean,
brother, I don't know about you, but I need to be in church.
Yeah.
I need to hear the singing. I need to hear the testimonies. I like to see the hands go up. I like to hear the shouting. Amen. I like to hear amen. Amen every now and then. Glory to God every now and then.
That's right.
Thank you.
You know, I don't hear much of that in the world.
No.
Brother Ed.
No, you don't.
You get out in the world out there and you hear just the opposite.
That's right.
Brother Ed was telling me about Sarah calling him up, talking to him about Job. And Job wouldn't curse God no matter what.
No.
And he just praised God through everything and stood at him. I mean, he lost everything he had in a moment's time. And Job, he said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away.
Right.
Blessed be the name
right.
of the Lord.
Amen.
And then the devil, I believe, got in the heart of Job's wife. And she came up to him and listen, I can understand her bitterness. I mean, really, she had buried 10 children. And she comes up to her husband and says, doest thou still retain thine integrity? She said, curse God and die. And he said to his wife, you speak like a foolish woman.
Yeah.
Shall we not receive
Amen.
Good
That's
at the
right.
hand of the Lord? And shall we not receive also evil?
Amen.
I just want you to know, no matter what, King Job's way,
right.
he's going
Amen.
God all the way.
Amen.
And you read the latter part of that book, and it says at the end, he had twice as much as he had in the ending.
That's
well,
right.
he only had 10 Amen. Children. So you tell me how he had twice as many. I'll tell you why.
Right.
He didn't lose them first 10. They just
right.
graduated his life
Amen.
And went home.
Amen.
And he caught up with them later. Amen. That's one thing about God. Hey, I tell you, that's a good place to have your family. In the house of God. In the family of God. But listen, there's a crisis here.
Amen.
You got politicians mad.
Right.
You got pastors mad. And all one I know doing good in that is Jesus.
Right.
By the way, Jesus does make a difference.
He does.
In the arguments, he makes a difference in the legislation. He makes a difference in the conclusion of the whole matter. That's what Ecclesiastes 12 says. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Ecclesiastes 12, 13, verse 14. For God shall bring every work into judgment, whether it be good or whether it be evil. I just want you to know the conclusion of the matter is God's going to have the final say in everything that's said. Amen.
That's right.
Jesus makes a difference
yeah.
in the Christ.
Yes.
He makes a difference in death and in life.
That's right.
Especially in Psalm 91 verse 10. It said, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. I don't know about you, but I want the shield of God.
Yeah,
I want the
right.
safety that He offers.
Yeah.
I want to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I want to be under His wing of safety.
Amen.
Amen.
Doctors can just do so much, Brother Mitchell.
Right.
They've helped my wife quite a bit. They put
Amen.
3 screws in front of her neck, 6 screws in the back of her neck, and 4 screws in the little part of her back. And he said, if you need any more, he said, I'll be glad to put some more in. Amen.
Amen.
And I tell you, I just spared me. I just seen somehow suffering to get by the best I can. Well, I'll come in with a walker if I have to. Amen, Sister Sharon. I just said, I'm kind of allergic to surgery. I went to the dentist one time. He said, what's your biggest concern? And I said, pain. He shot me with Novocaine about 6 times. It was 3 days before I could drink water. I didn't even have it for a long time.
That's right.
I didn't
Amen.
Know where to run. I didn't know where to hang
it
up. I'm telling you, buddy, he took care of that. He said, can you feel that? And I said, what? He said, we're ready to start. And I did not even know he'd done anything to me. Hey, listen, Jesus makes a difference in a crisis. Amen. Jesus said, not one hair of our head would perish in Luke 21, verse 18. I know you say, oh, Brother Eddie, you look pretty thin up on the top. Hey, he numbered my hairs. He knows the number of them. When we get to him, he's going to show all things. I'll have a hair like the Beatles, amen. When I was young, my mama used to try to comb my hair. And you know what she said, fellas? She said, well, at least you don't have to worry about ever being bald-headed. You couldn't run a comb through my hair. It's so thick. And they called me Cotton and Snow White. And finally it changed about four colors. I think it's on the last one now, amen.
Amen.
I don't think there's any more colors left. You know what I mean? But hey, not one hair of our head will perish. Now, that's not talking about falling out like me and worrying yourself to death about things you can't do nothing about. What that's talking about is nobody's going to knock any hair off your head with a ball bat or with a hammer or hurt you in some way. He said this in a way of confidence or encouragement, a means of safety. He said, not one hair of our head would perish in Luke 21:18. Now I said Jesus makes a difference in a crisis. And you know, this was a crisis back over there in the Old Testament. I just want to use that for a springboard. Now I'm actually going to preach the rest of this message in Mark chapter number 4. I thought it was John 4. In Mark chapter 4, we're going to go there just a little bit, because what we got going on today is just like what they had going on back there in Egypt.
Yeah.
I mean, we got the same circumstances today. And Jesus does a pretty good job of bringing this to mind in Luke chapter number 4. He said, first of all, in verse 35, he said, the same day when the eve was come, he said unto them, let us pass over to the other side. That sounds pretty simple, don't it?
Yeah.
I mean, he said, let's go to the other side. Now, with Jesus on board, you can do that. It's kind of hard to get to the other side without having Jesus on board. That's but they had Jesus with them. And I'm sure they never put much thought to it. These guys are sailors. They're fishermen. They're no stranger to the ocean or to the sea. They're no stranger to the water. They know everything to do and the storms and all that stuff. But I believe it's a different kind of storm comes up on them. And in our case, a different kind of storm has come up on us. I never thought I'd see the kind of oppression I've seen exercised against the church. And you know, they call it some kind of coronavirus problem. Do y'all know anybody that's got it?
No.
Now, I mean, I don't want to overplay this. I want to use every precaution I do. When I go to the hospital, see my wife, yeah, I've got to put a face mask on.
That's right.
But I ain't going to put one on unless I've got to. I go to the grocery store, everybody's got one on with me. And y'all look at me, I say, we all doing robbing the bank or what? One guy that's got a big line of hanks down to here. I said, is he robbing or what? But, you know, I will take every precaution.
Right.
If need be, I'll do it.
Right.
If there's not a cause, I don't see no sense in doing it. I feel like, to some degree, some of this has been overplayed.
Yeah, that's right.
What are you talking about, Brother Eddie?
Amen.
I don't want to get real political here. But when it's a governor. Yeah, the governor of New York,
yeah.
Cuomo.
Right.
He took infected, positive COVID-19 people and put them in a nursing home, and up to 5,000 people died. I mean, it don't take rocket scientists to figure that out.
You're right.
These were helpless, vulnerable victims. They pretty much were euthanized, and if you knew anything about the plan that they have for humanity, it scares you a little bit.
Yeah,
it scares you more than the coronavirus. When I say that, they're wanting to reduce the population of the earth to save the earth by 90-some percent by the year 2030, and that's exactly how they're going to do it. They intentionally turn those infected people loose on those victims in a nursing home, and they end up succumbing to that coronavirus. But Jesus here, he just says, let us pass over to the other side. Verse 36 says, and when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was into the ship. That's the way I took him.
Right.
Even as he was.
Amen.
I didn't try to make Jesus something he wasn't. I didn't try to make him more than what he was.
That's right.
I had everything I needed when I met him.
Amen.
To be from a sinner to a saved man. Mm-hmm. I'm complete in him. I don't have to speak in tongues. I don't have to take up snakes.
Amen.
I don't have to walk on the water. All I got to do is abide in him. We'll get that here in a minute. But they took him even as he was into the ship. That's the way you have to take it.
Right.
Now, I don't know what your opinion of Jesus is, but I'll tell you one thing. He's everything you need.
Right.
He can handle anything you got.
Right.
He does all things well. And they took him even as he was into the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. One thing about the Lord, he's always got some little ones close by.
Right.
And it'd do us older ones a whole lot good to pay attention to little ones.
That's right.
You can learn so much about God by the innocency of their snow white hearts. You know, their hearts hadn't got black like ours.
Right.
And they don't have a carnal mind that ended with God. Man, they just believe everything that's told them. And it's good to tell them the truth. Tell them about Jesus. Brother Ed, I believe it was telling me how important it is to train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he'll not depart.
Right.
We need to plant those seeds.
Right.
I'm so encouraged to see the Sunday school room back there for the young people.
Yeah.
Listen, I want you to know that's good ground. Make sure you sow good seed.
Right.
Don't underestimate what could come of that. I remember hearing Clinch Jared this morning, that a preacher got up and Jared, Clinch, just a young boy in the church, and he jerked him up and said, "Young boys just like this can make preachers one day." And I thought, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard in my life. And he said, "As you can tell, God had his way. Here he is, been pastor something like 40 years. And he's preaching this morning on King of Kings Radio about 8 o'clock. And he said, you know, I just didn't give much thought to it. But it's yet to be seen what God can do with someone." Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Jesus here had some other little ships. We need to get our little ones close to Jesus.
Yes, we do.
Now Jesus is in this ship. They're not in the ship, but they're close by. Now, verse 37 there. Well, let me drop down a little bit. When I said Jesus makes a difference, I want you to know he rebuked his disciples.
Yeah.
In verse number 40, he asked them why they were so fearful. Now, I can understand us being fearful of this coronavirus, and I've seen a lot of people do a lot of things with regard to that fear. I heard, I don't know, and I hope this ain't true, because I'm probably going to get in trouble. I heard they're going to make you wear a face mask out in public. Even driving a car, you got to wear a face mask.
No.
Now, if I'm on one in the car, who am I protecting?
That's right.
You see what I mean?
Right.
Now, if I got about six behind me, maybe I do need to wear one. Heck, I don't know. I'll make that decision when it happens. But if I'm driving down the road in my car, Sharon, and nobody in the car but me, and a state trooper sees me and I ain't got a face mask on, he pulls me over, I'm going to say, who am I threatening? Who am I putting in danger in my own car by not wearing a face mask?
That's
you know, want to say they're playing this thing a little bit overboard. And Jesus here, he kind of rebuked his disciples. We probably should read down to that so we won't mess this up. It said, and there arose a great storm. This wasn't a normal storm. This was a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Remember that.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Can you imagine asking Jesus if he cares? The Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And they said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Which pictures salvation. When I got saved, the storm quit its raging.
Amen.
And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And here he is, he rebukes them. He says unto them, why are you so fearful? Now, he had told them, let us go over unto the other side. That is a statement of faith.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I didn't see anywhere where it changed. And yes, there was a storm. And yes, the boat was now full of water.
Yeah.
That's an important point here.
Yeah, right.
And yes, Jesus was asleep. But when Jesus asked them, why are you so fearful? Let me just say this. They had more confidence in the ship than they had in Jesus. Yeah. You get that on the slow
right.
train.
That's right.
The ship's full. It's not sinking.
That's right.
But it's full.
Yeah.
Hey, did something happen? You know, well, I've been on the lake quite a bit. I remember one time I put Mom and Dad both in the lake, Phyllis, and I forgot to put the plug back there. And we're out there running around the lake, and I looked back, and there's water back there at my heels. And I didn't realize what was going on. I told everybody, I said, run to the front of the boat. I'm young. I'm pretty young back then. About 20 years old. And they all ran to the front. I put that boat wide open. And when all that water went out of that boat, I said, somebody run back there and put the plug in the back of the boat. They did. We run the rest of the day, no problem at all. But boats sink when they get full of water.
Yeah,
the only reason kept us from sinking is I hadn't let off the throttle.
Right.
And we're still going forward. But I'll tell you what, it's something to look back and you got water right there at your heels.
That's right.
Oh, that was quite a moment. And boats are made to float by keeping water out. This boat was now full of water. It's not sinking. Jesus had told them, let us go to the other side. If we're not careful, we'll get caught up in these same kind of calamities that's going our day right now.
Right, right.
I mean, there's a lot of people. I'm not even sure that churches are going to be able to get back on their feet.
That's right.
You say you shouldn't say that, Brother Eddie. Well, some of them never wore church to begin with.
Right.
They're going to really struggle.
Right.
I heard a lot of them are going bankrupt, going belly up and all that stuff. And you know what? I just know this. God's coming for His church.
Right.
I know this. He died for His church.
That's right.
I know He loved His church.
Yeah.
God loved the world. Christ loved the church. And well, here this boat is. It's full of water. And it's not sinking. But he rebukes them. Why are you so fearful? And to some degree, I guess he's going to rebuke some of us why we were so fearful over a little virus. And our government, you know, they pass laws and make all kind of oppression and restraints upon us. And I talk to my pastor. I mean, I want to obey the law, but I don't want it to interrupt the laws of God. And I'll get more on that here in a minute. But he also asked them, how is it, verse 40, that you have no faith? Like I said, they had more faith in the ship than they did in Jesus.
Mm.
Don't never be afraid when you got Jesus on board.
Right.
And if you got Jesus on board, I promise you this, your ship ain't going down.
It ain't going to sink.
Amen. Your sails are going to have wind in them. You're going to sail with Jesus.
Yes.
But let me say this. When Jesus said, let us go to the other side. If that ship had a sunk, they could have walked the rest of the way on the sea. They could have left the ship. They could have walked the rest of the way if the ship had went down. They didn't need the ship. What I'm trying to say, they needed Jesus to make it to the other side.
Right.
That's what I'm talking about these problems like what we got going on right now. We got all these pharaohs, more than one of them. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
God help us.
Yes.
You know who the most powerful person is in the United States, apart from God? You know who the most powerful person is in the United States, Brother Mitchell? The most powerful.
Bill Gates. No.
Anybody know who the most powerful person is in the United States of America? The voter.
Right.
That's right.
The voter.
You see, when our government says that our government's other people, by the people, for the people, that depends on how people vote.
That's
I ain't
right.
trying to get all political
Amen.
Here. But I did want to say this to you, my beloved. Be careful who you give your vote to.
That's
we don't
right.
need Pharaoh. We don't need pastors. Don't get me wrong.
You're right.
We just need common sense in our government. I'm so sick of all of these calamities, all these crises, all of these nonsense things they're promoting right now. And they get caught in a lot of them. I think that's my prayer, Lord. Help them get exposed. Help
that's
them get
right.
caught. Lord, I pray to be removed from office. Look, I love America. I love God supreme. But God put me here, and I love America. I think we've got everything we need in America. We're just out of kilter right now. I believe our schools need an overhaul. I believe our churches need an overhaul. Yeah. I believe our government
right.
needs an overhaul.
Amen.
But I want you to know this, the most powerful person in this United States of America is the voter.
Right.
You know, I know that they're letting convicts vote now.
Yeah.
That's right.
Felons vote now. They're going to do mail-in voting now. That tells me something, Rita.
Yeah, that means
see,
right.
that tells me they figured out a way around you and me.
That's right.
That cancels our vote out, Brother Jerry.
Right.
See, they pay these, they say, look, I'll get you out of prison. You vote this, he said, I'll do it.
Right.
And then when mail-in vote, hey, no money, you fill these out, we'll take care of the rest. You know, that's what the Pharisees did to those soldiers. They said, say that his disciples came by night and stole him away, and we'll give you a large sum of money. You know what they did, Brother Jason? They took the money.
You're right.
A lot of people dislike that.
Right.
We need to exercise our right to vote this year. It's probably going to be the most important year
yeah.
that's ever been in this United States of America.
Yeah, right.
And the voters of America today will have a bigger impact in America than anything our president, our vice president, our Congress, senators, legislators, judges, mayors, or anyone else can do.
Right.
That's right.
Jesus said, let's go to the other side. Jesus also said for us to occupy till he comes in Luke 19:13. I know that means occupying the world, but that could also mean occupy in the church.
That's right.
You see, when you read verses like Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another. I got encouraged. I seen Phyllis, Mitchell, Rita come in this morning.
Amen.
I'd already said, well, Sharon. I'd already seen Jerry, Carolyn, and Danny. But Sharon come in this morning. That encouraged me. She said, I got to get in church. I got to get something today from the Lord. And look,
Amen.
She went to great lengths to get here.
Amen.
Right.
Yes, she did.
Ain't that like the real thing, isn't it?
That's right.
It's kind of hard to get that off there and that,
hey.
Amen. I mean, them goosebumps run up down your arm. And, hey, man, you get the can't help it. And I always say this about the can't help it. You get the can't help it, don't worry about it.
That's right.
It's when you try to make it something that's not there. When you get the can't help it, don't worry about it. It's going to run its course.
Hey,
you see
old
buddy Eddie break down and cry? I just want you to know it's because I got the can't help it. I couldn't get from it. But oh, my.
Amen.
Jesus said, occupy till I come. The world says something other than that.
That's right.
We got to make a conscientious decision, and I'm not reproaching anybody. I'm glad I'm saved. I love all.
That's right.
I tell you what, I didn't love nobody, but anyways, I got saved. But after I got saved, I love everybody now.
That's right.
I love my enemies now. I don't pray against them. I've got people that's actually went to great lengths to try to hurt me, and I just pray, Lord, forgive them. Lord, help them. Help them get straightened out. I mean, just
that's
no sense in that.
Amen.
And you know what? Just trying to give them a good example of not meeting them, you know, like they used to. And we'll get this straightened out. But I meet them this time on my knees in prayer. Lord, forgive them. You know, Stephen, as he's stoning them, he said, Lord, lay not this sin to the charge.
Amen.
Jesus, as he's dying on the cross in Luke 23,
Amen.
He said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do.
They
do. We just got to let love be our strength. Let love be our motive. But I'm not angry with our governor. I'm not angry with our government. But I do believe they overstepped their office. I do believe they went overboard in their decisions. And I believe it was unfair.
You're right.
But let me say that the church is essential.
That's right.
Jesus, when he rebuked these disciples, we would have done the same thing, I guess, Brother Mitchell. We've
right.
been afraid.
Right. Amen.
He said, why are you so fearful? Well, I'll tell you right now, it was a time to be afraid.
It was.
But I think they forgot that Jesus was who he was. And he says, how is it that you have no faith? Now, when you got Jesus on board, you can have faith.
That's right.
But if I didn't have Jesus, and something like that happened, Brother Danny, I'd have to admit it messed my faith a little bit. I'd say, Lord, where are you? You remember what Martha and Mary said to Jesus about their brother Lazarus? They said, Lord, if you'd been here, our brother's not dying. And Jesus said, I'm glad for your sakes that I wasn't here to the intent you might believe. There's a reason for that. He wanted to show himself to be God. The Jews believed that you could raise from the dead up to 3 days. He came on the fourth day for a reason.
Right.
Because they believed after 4 days, you was for sure legally dead. Brother Ed, when he said Lazarus come forth, if he hadn't said Lazarus, the whole graveyard got up.
Amen. Amen.
Woo! Hallelujah! I know Brother Harvey probably kicked a little on that right there. Amen. But one day, praise God, he's going to call our name. Hey, we're going up. I get on the elevator to the hospital to go see my wife, Carolyn. And I say, you going up or down? I said, I'm going up.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad, praise God, Jesus makes a difference.
I am too.
This first church was in trouble in Egypt, and the church of our day is in trouble in our Egypt. But I want you to know Jesus is the same yesterday,
amen,
today,
forever,
and forevermore.
Right.
When he said, let not your heart be troubled, Carolyn, he was sending a personal comfort to you and me.
That's right.
He said, let not your heart be troubled.
Amen.
He said, you believe in God, believe also in me.
Right.
He went on to say, in my Father's house are many mansions.
Yeah.
He said, I go prepare a place for you that where I am, that's where I'm going, fellas.
That's
I'm going
right.
where
that's
he
right.
is. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going up there on Shouting Avenue.
Amen.
I'm going. I saw a song yesterday. What was it? I'm going for the gold. I believe it's the name of the song. By the primitives, I'm going for the gold. Amen. And why dwell among asphalt and sinners when you go for the gold?
Right.
And dwell among saints. Hey, and get to meet the patriarchs. One of them that wrote this Bible. One of them, you take old Jonah 3 days in the belly of a whale. He said, yeah, but God got me out. Amen.
That's right. Amen.
You know, David, he slew Goliath. And I just had to think about this. I'll look my Bible and just make sure I was right about it, Phyllis. But when he got that giant sword to cut his head off, did you notice he had to pull it out of the sheath?
Right.
The giant Goliath didn't even get a chance to get his sword out. David done had him on the ground flopping like a fish.
Right.
And took that sword real, cut that head off.
Yeah,
amen. Well, I just want to say this. Jesus does make a difference.
Makes
all and right. Let me say the church is essential.
Right.
And the world may not understand it, but we do.
Yes, Lord.
There's just no substitute for being in a service. Now, Brother Jason, I appreciate him recording this. We'll probably have all kind of likes and all kind of dislikes. But I'll tell you this. Like Pilate said, what I've written, I've written.
Right.
I'm glad I'm saved.
Amen.
I'm glad I'm in the house of God. And praise God, I know where I'm going. If death was to come knocking today,
right,
I'd say no claim here, buddy. You might as well hit the road, amen.
Amen.
Praise God, Jesus said, whosoever believeth in me. You know, the world seems like they'll be interested in that. They'll spend every penny they got to try to live 1 hour as long. I remember hearing a story about a very rich man, and the doctor told him he didn't have long to live. And really, you know what he told that doctor? He said, I'll give you $1 million for every hour you can keep me alive. He said, ain't enough money, buddy.
That's
he said,
right.
I ain't got the power of life over death.
That don't work.
Yeah, it ain't like we can have a say in the matter.
No,
when it comes time to die. On the calendar of God, somewhere on there, it's got 80 weight. I'm sure it's been moved a few times. God said, I'm going to let it go a little further.
Right.
He ain't quite ready for heaven yet. Let me take him a little further.
Amen.
But our days are numbered.
Yeah.
And the Bible says that, Lord, teach us to number our days and we apply our hearts unto wisdom. What that basically means is just know this, one day you're going to die.
That's right.
One day, no matter where you got a party planned, no
right.
matter how much money you got in the bank, no matter how good you feel, you're going to say, this is it, I'm coming home.
Right. And what you're going
precious
to
in the sight
Amen.
Of the Lord is the death of his saints. God said, bring them home.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for the message today.
Yes.
Father, I pray a special prayer for the Pharaohs of our day. That, Lord, they might not meet the Pharaoh of the day of Moses. Lord, that they might not meet that terrible fate to find out they're no match for God. I pray for the Pharaohs of our day. That, Lord, they get off of their thrones. I pray they do a Nineveh repentance and say, God, I'm sorry. Let me know what you'd have me to do. Let me not be contrary to the Word of God and the will of God. I pray for the Pharaohs today. I pray for the pastors today. I pray they'll exercise wisdom and discernment concerning this matter of this coronavirus. Lord, I'm not tooting my horn. I'm not making no boast. I'm just glad we're able to be here today. Although we're doing what they told us to do. We're using social distancing. I've done my best, behaved myself. I didn't spit on nobody as far as I know. Lord, we didn't shake no hands or nothing. But I pray, God, today for this hour, Lord, you'd help us be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Amen. Your blessed will be done in all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, I would ask Brother Jerry to get an invitation, but I ain't going to do that today because of this coronavirus thing. I'm just going to ask anybody's got a testimony on your heart. I know all y'all saved. If I had any doubt at all, I'd for sure have him sing one.
Brother Eddie, I'm so glad that we got to be back in church.
Hey, man, ain't that good?
I'd go out in the garage and I'd sit down and pray. I said, Lord, when are we going to get back? Can't wait to get back.
Hey, man.
Hear the good sermons.
Hey, man. Brother Jerry got a song on his heart. Hey, man. Now get this out of your way, brother.
203.
That sounds like Amazing Grace to me.
That's what it is.
Hey, man, it was
one of the greatest songs ever written.
Rich like me.
Brother Eddie, I'm glad to be here today.
Hey, man.
Hear the good message and be with the good singers and the good Christians that we love.
I'm like everybody else. I need this, sister. Sharon couldn't have sung a better song.
Yeah.
I need you, Lord.
That's right.
I'm glad, praise God, when we sat 203 together in His name, He said, Lo, I'm in the midst. I like that heavenly visitation.
Amen.
Go ahead, Brother Jerry.
Amazing grace, how sweet.
Woo!
That saved a wretch like me.
Oh, yeah, oh,
Lord.
I'm glad we can find Him if we feel after Him. I'm glad, praise God, He still makes house calls. Maybe somebody else got a testimony.
I'd like to say I love the Lord today, and I thank Him, God. I thank you, God, for saving me.
Ain't that good?
I thank God for our little church that we have.
Yeah.
I tell you what, it's good to see the people get back together.
Amen.
In spirit and truth, and I'd like for the church to help me pray for my wife. She's in very bad shape. She just can't hardly even walk. And she wanted to be here today so bad she cried when I asked her if she would come today. Sometimes when we get our age or health, this goes by,
right,
there ain't nothing we can do about it, but God can help. You know,
that's right.
I ask you to help me pray for her.
We're going to pray for Brother Ed's wife here in just a minute. Has anybody else got a testimony before we pray?
I told some of them the other day, Brother Eddie, I said, why worry about something that there ain't nothing you can do about? All you can do is pray. And your heart better be in the right place.
Yeah.
If we're living in the last days, we don't know how much worse it can get. It can get a lot worse.
I think it's going to be a defining year.
Right. And I tell you what, since I've been out of church, I prayed more than I ever prayed in my
life. Amen. Me too.
I'm praying for your family.
Thank
praying
you,
for your wife. And I'm praying for everybody in church. I said, Lord, bring us back together. Because that's where we need to be. And I missed, Phyllis did too.
Yes.
We said, I'll be glad to open it back up where we can get
there. Amen.
And I might be wrong, but I don't think they are to close it down to start with.
I felt like it was uncalled for. Maybe some big churches might have been the need, but I think in the smaller country churches, I don't think it really called for shutting down. But we want to have a word of prayer. If anybody else got anything on your heart, well, we'll give you opportunity. If not, we're going to have a word of prayer for Sister Karen.
Remember our sister Brenda.